You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Here on Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hour number three coming up after us. It's going to be In This League from 12 to 3, and then Weekend Fantasy Update from 3 to 6. George, it's going to be you and Joe Galina. I think it's Joe's birthday today, actually.
Is it Joe's birthday today or yesterday? But yes, the Fantasy Jesus.
Yeah.
What does that make him in years?
Wait, so then shouldn't his birthday be on December 25th?
I always thought it was that, too. You know, hey, I could be wrong. I'm not the most religious person on the planet. Maybe I have the date wrong.
Joe Galina just switching things up at will. I mean, that's just how Joe rolls. I have to respect it. So, George, I wanted to bring it up because I think kind of it is a sports story no matter what. And it impacts the game for better or for worse. And it is worth talking about. The NFL released their new national anthem policy. And look, it's divisive. And I know where I stand on this issue. I am on the player side of this. Some people aren't. That is a discourse that I encourage people to have because I think that is important and it can invoke some good conversation. But George, I kind of just wanted to grab your reaction to when you saw the policy that came out. I'll tell people Mike saw it. Blewett, obviously, who typically does the program. And, you know, his initial reaction was the NFL needs to hire a PR crisis specialist to get through some of this stuff. So there's a number of directions that I think people can take this and react. How did you feel when you first saw the release of the anthem policy?
The NFL seems to put themselves in more trouble when they do things like this. I mean, there's not really a penalty. A team can enforce the penalty, but you hear owners like Woody Johnson say he'd pay the penalty himself. Well, then why'd you vote for the policy? Right. You know, but now we're hearing there wasn't a real vote for it. There was just it's strange. Strange how the NFL does things sometimes. So that was my first thought about it. As far as it itself, I mean, I go back and forth on this. I mean, as far as should you be able to do it, of course you should be able to. It's part of our freedoms, right, to be able to do whatever you want. But it's also in the workplace. You know, how would Mike Cardano feel if I'm doing some kind of protest before a show or during the commercial, whatever it is? Or even when we're on the show, I'm sure he wouldn't be happy about that. I am working for him. You know, I am working for the network then. Same thing with the football players. You know, when you're on the field, that's your office. So, and that's when you're protesting. You know, but I do believe players and people have the right to protest. Did the kneeling bother me? Probably a little bit. I do come from a military family, so it does bother me. But you've also heard military, well, this is what we're fighting for their people's right to protest. So that makes me feel better about it. So I like that. I don't mind the players with the fist in the air. You know, that doesn't bother me at all. You know, I don't want to say I like that, but it doesn't bother me at all. But I don't know. I don't like players sitting down. That I'm not a fan of. I guess, you know, would I – players not coming out at all, that'd be fine. You know, if I'm the NFL, by the way, what I would have just done is, you know, people forget the players never used to come out for the anthem, by the way. This is actually something that's only been around for the past 10, 12 years, I believe. They always used to be in the locker room for it, and they used to come out after it. If I'm the NFL, I would have just gone back to that. You know, solves all your problems. You know, you don't have to worry about it. You're going back to what it used to be back in the day, and you don't have to worry about anybody protesting anything. You know, the NFL has made this a story again. You know, not, I should say again. It wasn't going anywhere. But, you know, I just wish they would have done things differently, probably done things more openly, and maybe consult the union. I mean, why does everything have to be a fight with the union? I understand that in some ways that's the way it is, but not to even consult with them seems to be petty. You know, just and I don't really like the Damari Smith, the head of the players union. I think they make a lot of mistakes as well. But not to at least consult with them on what they think a solution to the problem would have been seems kind of stupid.
That very last seems kind of stupid. It feels like it captures a lot of us. You know, I've heard a lot of people talk about the workplace stuff. My personal opinion on that is It's very different, and I feel like it is disingenuous in a way, though, to compare my workplace to the NFL player's workplace. I'm not required to play the national anthem before we start the program, and you know, if I were to start doing something in the middle of the show, that would not be compared to the national anthem. That would be in the middle of a play, making a protest. So I find those things incredibly different, and I think when you you think about the platform and the positive impact that it could have. Again, I felt support of it. I do feel as well that people have twisted it a lot. I totally respect the military background, and I think that that stuff is great. The one thing I'll say is I don't think that it's about the military, and I think that a lot of people during the national anthem feel like it is a time to pay respect to the military, but I don't think that that is the sole purpose of the national anthem. But to me, the thing that really comes out to this whole thing is the NFL is handling this in, simply put, the worst way I've ever seen. Because here's why, to me, it was so bafflingly stupid. They come out and they do this, right? And they were said that they were going to do this in lockstep with the players. And then shortly after, right away, the players announce, as you just mentioned, we were never consulted on any of this. So initially now, anybody who was in support of the players knows that they had no bearing on this decision. So you've completely alienated that base, and you've completely turned them away from looking at this as a good move. But what was even more jarring, and it happened within the 24 hours when they got President Trump's response to this, and it is such a crazy thing because there was a lot of reports that came out that a lot of this decision was based in the fear of President Trump, where he quickly said, I don't think that they should be allowed to stay in the locker room. It is so easy to see through the crap that the NFL is putting out there, and there's really no other way to look at it. It's crap. It's all optics based. They did not say players can no longer protest during the national anthem. You just can't be seen. So if you'd like to sit in the locker room, that's fine. But it is entirely optics-based, and it is so see-through to where they have literally, there are pretty much two sides to this. And they've not actually satisfied either of the sides. And one of the points that you made, I actually think, is a really fantastic one. Woody Johnson comes out immediately, says, I'll pay the fines, right? No problem. Well, why in the world did you then agree on this? And I think the answer to this is actually easy to find. I think it's because they're trying to paint themselves as the heroes. These owners sat there and probably said, oh, you know what? Put the burden on us. Put the burden on us. And that way we'll think that we're now lifting the burden off the players. It is a level of foolishness that I cannot understand. And one of the early reports that came out of this announcement was there were a number of players who reached out to reporters who they had connections with, who pretty much, you know, or I'm sure the reporters reached out to them, and the feedback that they got was, I wasn't planning on anything, but now I am. Because this is one of the things that has happened with this whole, all of this national anthem stuff. The initial Colin Kaepernick, it had to do with police brutality. Then there was an entire wave that had to do with comments made by the president. So the knee, the full team kneels that we saw, or everybody with a fist in the air, that was directed to say that we are unified against the president's comments. And now, next season, we will see protests, not based on police brutality, not based on the military, not based on President Trump. Players, National Football League players, are going to be making a stance against the National Football League.
I can't disagree with anything you said. You know, I think one thing people have to realize, and that's sort of we sort of forget here, the NFL cares about one thing and one thing only. I don't think the NFL as a whole, the owners, I don't think they care about the protest at all. Really don't. But they care about money.
Yep.
And some sponsorships went away because of this, and that's what they're reacting to. Yeah, that's all the NFL cares about. In most sports, that's all they care about. When I say most, I mean all. You know, they don't care about the game. They really don't care about the fans, other than the fact that the fans pay the money. So that they care about the money. And when those sponsorships started going away, because once again, the sponsors were hearing it from their consumers that they didn't like what was going on, well, then once again, you have what you have here. When Trump said what he did, President Trump, once again, that hurt the NFL. Whether you think Trump's right, he's an idiot, whatever it might be, once again, that hurt the bottom line here. Mm. So that was what's going on here. What I always find funny in all of these things, whether it's the anthem, the domestic violence in the NFL, I love how everyone yells at Goodell. You know, that it's his fault, which in my mind is so misguided. All Goodell is a mouthpiece for the owners. That's all he is. He's just saying what the owners are afraid to say. And that's why he gets paid the money. This way we all yell at Goodell, but we don't yell at Jerry Jones. You know, you don't yell at Daniel Snyder. You're not yelling at Robert Kraft because they don't want to hear it. But they're the ones who decide what's going on here, not Goodell. Goodell just has to take the heat for it. That's why he's paid the big money here. So you can yell at Goodell all you want for the anthem. It's the owners who set this policy. It wasn't like Goodell was in there, trying to get a momentum one way or the other. He was there, but he wasn't. You know, he had no part. It was the owners are deciding because it's their bottom line. It's what they're trying to fix. One thing, you're absolutely correct. I mean, they made this worse. You know, they absolutely made this worse. And yeah, I think you said to set the line earlier. They need to hire a PR guy. That's very true. Hire a professional who could help you out here. Because right now, all you're doing is adding gas to the fire. As soon as it dies down a little bit, you just pour more gas on, you explode it again. And sometimes I wonder if that's half the theory here. Once again, no publicity is bad publicity. If that's sort of a thing going on here. You know, because I just can't believe a bunch of billionaires can make this many mistakes.
Yeah. it's one of those things where, I agree with you 100% that this is money driven, right? The problem comes, I think, from it though, is they are also clearly not in lockstep with the message that the players are putting forth, because I actually think that they could have easily done a lot more good for themselves. And that's just not even to say I've had horribly of a mess, but even if they came out right away, they said, this stuff is done. Anybody who protests will be suspended, fine, whatever it may be, right? That would have been immediate action, and people would have said, well, they're doing whatever it is to affect their bottom line. If all that mattered was the dollar value, I mean, the NFL is so much money, and these owners have so much money. They could have made a campaign in lockstep with the players to get out in front of this, because a lot of the anger that does exist around this are people who feel like the military and the idea of this country is being disrespected. And that was never the message that was ever delivered. So if the NFL actually wanted to truly protect their dollar, and that was all they cared about, there was probably a better way to go about it. I do think part of it is that they are not in lockstep with the message that the players want to deliver. Another thing that exists in this, and again, it is a growing sentiment, I think everybody agrees, is they've made this worse, undeniably. And whether it was going away or not remains to be seen. The one thing, though, that is never going to weigh, that is clearly not going away because it is continuing to snowball, is all of this Colin Kaepernick stuff.
I mean, you're right. Kaepernick, I wonder if this would have been as bad if we had a better quarterback. You know, Kaepernick, should he have a job in the NFL? Absolutely, but he's not a great quarterback. His play had diminished. But if he was, you know, a better quarterback, what would have happened here? You know, a better, I don't want to say role model here, but a better face of the protest would be better here. Kaepernick's problem was, I think the protest was, no problem with it. But should the fact that he was the one, the fact that it came out that he wore the socks that had portrayed cops as pigs, you know, that's bad. That's bad for the optics. Because once again, that sort of means, you know, no one, how can anyone take you seriously when you're wearing socks like that? You know, displaying all cops as pigs, that's not going to look good. You heard the police obviously had their issues with it. So, yeah, I would have wondered, man, it was Warren Moon back in the day. You know, if he would have come out and done this, a guy who had, you know, back then had no problems and was a Hall of Famer player. You know, if he would have done something like this, I wonder if a player of that ilk would have had the guts to do something like this. You know, we've seen players follow top players. But, you know, after that, I also wonder, you know, Kaepernick doesn't have a job. Eric Reid doesn't have a job. Both are, apparently from everything we hear, both are because, and I believe it, because of the protest. If they didn't protest, they'd have jobs, be getting paid. So I wonder how many players whose contracts are coming up anytime soon are going to want to, even if they'd like to, but won't, because they got to protect their salary, their paycheck. And I don't blame them one little bit. Because if I was in that situation, I'm protecting my paycheck as well. You know, I got a family, you know, family to feed and all that. I got to stay my job. You know, I don't think there's any doubt that Eric Reed should have a job in the NFL. You could say Kaepernick's not a starting quarterback, and I could buy that. Although top 32, I think maybe he might be in that ilk. He should certainly be a backup for somebody. You know, if you want to argue once again that he needs a certain system, I completely agree. I don't think he could play for all 32 teams. But I think he could be a backup of our team, like, you know, the Seahawks who tried. I thought the Cowboys would have made sense too. Once again, teams that have mobile quarterbacks. So I do think this has kept them out. I don't think that's fair at all. You know, but I also understand. I mean, why didn't Tebow really get a shot with other teams? Because the owners and more the coaches didn't want the media circus that follows. What we always hear in the NFL? No distractions. Can't distract the team. Well, you sign Kaepernick, you're going to have a distraction. Because the media is going to eat it. I mean, it may only be for a certain amount of time. Yeah, like everything else, publicity goes over, goes away. But I think that also plays a big part. If you sign Kaepernick tomorrow, next couple of weeks, you know, opening training camp, maybe even in week one, all you're going to hear is about Kaepernick and the protest and the anthem and blah, 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 blah. And that distracts from the team, and coaches hate that.
I will say the Kaepernick, if he were to be signed by a team, it becomes a massive story. And I do think that the situation would be crucial, because I think whether it is a distraction or not is actually not determined by us. We're going to be you talk about it regardless. It's a matter of how the locker room handles it. And he was well received within the 49ers locker room. That's what the reports were. So it would have to be the right situation. When we come back, we're going to switch over to baseball because Greg Bird's on his way back. So that's where we got to head over to. Keep it here on Fantasy Sports Today.
Steiner Sports is the leading memorabilia provider for the New York Yankees, Rangers, Giants, Knicks, and the Brooklyn Nets. Featuring hundreds of items from your favorite athletes, Steiner Sports is your source for the best sports gifts. Go to steinersports.com/box and shop our collection of memorabilia boxes, which include 10 gifts for the price of one. We've made one for each of your favorite teams. Hurry, supplies are limited, and these are some of the best deals we have ever offered. So go to steinersports.com/box today.
Minnesota defense last year, they didn't have a ton of turnovers. They didn't have touchdowns either. I think that there stands to be positive regression there, making them even stronger.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Right, we're both
Thank you.
One,
this is like the first time season. Jake has completely agreed with me. We need to get some kind of drop when Jake agrees with someone.
Get an old Phil Rizzuto going, holy cow.
Weekdays, 7 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Game time decisions.
I partied with Gigi Allen, this chick that she's telling me over the weekend on the tour. Gigi Allen's my uncle. He's like, they used to give me drugs when I was 13 years old, and I thought it was cool at the time, but now I realize it was kind of creepy. And I'm like, why is this chick telling me that?
Well, I just met her.
That's not a good story.
No. It was kind of a come down, too, at 4 in the morning.
Oh, yeah. 4 in the morning, you need uplifting stories, not stories like that.
Yeah, but she was hot.
Yeah, so you're listening.
Weekdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
And we are back here on Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Kevin Walsh and it's George Kurtz. I consider myself a Yankees fan. I would say I'm a pretty big Yankees fan. I think I pale in comparison, though, to you, George. And I realized that once you told me that you DVR spring training games to go back and watch them.
Yeah, I do. I can't help myself. And I know I'm going to hate the spring training games. I know it. Because, the Rangers only play. Nobody cares. It's just, but I can't help myself. I don't watch them, live. Well, generally, I do DVR them so I can watch, 45 minutes to an hour. But I guess maybe it's also because, we live in the Northeast here in New York. It's cold all winter. So, spring eternal and all that. The warm weather's coming. So it makes me feel better about myself. It's also March. There's nothing else going on in March. So, I do DVR the Yankee games.
So the Yankees, right, like there was the slow start, and all of a sudden, I think the last time I actually spoke to you about the Yankees, it was after Stanton had the 2-home run game against the Blue Jays. And I don't think I spoke to
game
you.
Game one?
Yeah. No, it was game
opening
one.
Opening day.
And then I came in, and I was like, hey, guys. I asked both you and Mike. I was like, guys, like, can he be the best player in fantasy? And you were both like, you probably should calm down. And then he was like horrible for the next 2 weeks. I was at, and I'm sure you remember, the 5-strikeout game where it ended with Judge getting up, one out, bases loaded, and Stanton was behind him. And the last out was Stanton strikeout against the Orioles. That was.
I remember.
Yeah, I was at that game. That was a level of infuriating that in April I have not hit probably ever when it comes to the Yankees. Obviously that has to do with being at the stadium, but that was infuriating. But obviously though, they then went on the magical run. They basically couldn't lose any games. They're here now. There are a number of stories that come with the Yankees, and I don't think that anybody could say, oh, it's a pair of Yankee fans just chatting Yankees. Like, the Yankees are a prominent a team of discussion right now. And one of the more pressing issues, I would say, is the return of Greg Bird. Now, Bird is a guy with a lot of expectations from this organization. I think this is a guy that they would say if he played a full 162 would give him 30 to 40 home runs, depending on the spot in the order, maybe even come near 100 RBIs. They love this guy, but the injury bug has not been kind to him. And he makes his return, I believe it is today, against the Angels. And I'm just curious, what are your expectations for Greg Bird?
Oh, it's going to be fantastic for the Yankees because he gives them what they need, another power bat. Right? I mean, my God. if the man could ever stay healthy, he would hit 30 to 40 home runs. He's got immense power. But he doesn't have that one ability that everybody needs, availability. Can he make it through the rest of the season? Who knows? But, yes, he is going Aaron Boone has said it over and over again. He will be activated today. I keep looking to find out who the Yankees are sending down. I think that's a very curious move here because the Yankees are loaded, by the way. I mean, Brandon Drury is stuck in the minors because they don't want to, there's no one to send down. They don't want to send Andujar down, and nor should they. He deserves that starting third base job. So who are they sending down when Bird gets activated? I mean, is it Tyler Austin, who probably doesn't deserve it either? I mean, Austin would be perfect in a platoon with Bird. But I wonder if it's going to be Austin today just because of the numbers crunch. And it was because Austin has options left. I guess it could be Torres too, because you got Torres, you got Gregorius. Neil Walker can play second, and Torres could play shortstop when Gregorius needs a day off. So you could work it that way. But I'm wondering who they send down here. And you think about it, Clint Frazier shouldn't be in the minor leagues either. He should be. He deserves to be with the team. But outfield is the same problem. They don't want to get rid of Gardner yet, which that's a whole new issues there. But at the very least, he should be batting first. So I think Bird comes back. I mean, fantasy-wise, you're playing DFS today. I'm not putting him in my DFS lineups or my regular lineups. I think today and tomorrow, you sort of see what you get here. See how he looks here. He was, I think, 8 for 37 or 8 for 40, something like that. He was about 200 in the minor leagues, but hit a bunch of home runs. So the power stroke seems to be there, and I think that's where he'll be for a little bit until he works himself into the swing of things. I think if you're, for the rest of the season, it wouldn't shock me if he still hits 20 home runs. Wouldn't shock me at all. If you get that, I think the average could, fantasy-wise, could hurt you a little bit, maybe about around 250. But the problem with Bird is always going to be the same thing. I think he's valuable in that lineup because he'll be a left-hander. Good chance he's going to be where Gregorius was, somewhere around third and fourth, a split-up Stanton and Judge and Sanchez. I think he's going to be in the middle of the order bat here. I don't think he's going to bat seventh or eighth or anything like that. I think he's going to be middle of the order because of that left-handed bat, which makes that Yankee lineup, when you think about it, longer and better. I mean, it's scary. I know we're going to talk about this anyway. The Yankees, I wrote a column for it was Sports Grid. You know, Scott Engle asked me to write it about why the Yankees won't make the playoffs. I didn't believe in the column, but you know, we don't always believe in all our columns. I never believe the Yankees will make the World Series. That I agree with. But the Yankees have to make the playoffs because can you name five other teams that are better than them?
No.
Yeah, Red Sox, Astros, Indians. Okay, name me two more. It's impossible in the American League. That's why the Yankees will make the playoffs. Because they're, and don't get me wrong, they're a good team. But they're not, I don't think they're a World Series team because, listen, the pitching is just not there. The starting pitching is just, after Severino, it's, let's win 8-6 games because Gray was pitching today. He pitched better, but his ERA is still plus 5. You know, Tanaka, his ERA is approaching 5 as well, and he's homer prone again. CeCe's a 4 or 5 inning pitcher and flying guy, and he's had 3 bad starts in a row, and he may be tiring already. And we don't, the Yankees, I shouldn't say we, I don't own the team. And the Yankees don't have a fifth starter right now. And I had a friend of mine always, and no matter so I've gotten out of it. Whenever I said we for the Yankees, Cowboys, and he goes, oh, you play for them? You own the team? You know, when'd you get a percentage?
You feel like
and
you
I'm
do.
Like, he's right. I get it.
George.
That's as a fan, but I try and get out of that. No more we.
Apparently, we have a call because we're the popular kids. We're the popular people here. We have an update of sorts. Corey Parsons has called in to give us some important information on Dez Bryant. Corey, what's the word?
Ain't nothing much. What's going on? What's going on, Kevin? What's going on, George? This morning while I was strolling through Instagram, Dez Bryant had posted a his plays youth football. His son is a wide receiver, obviously, and he scored a long touchdown. He's this chip off the old block, I guess. Well, in the comments, somebody asked Dez Bryant what team he wanted to play for, and he was Dez Bryant wants to play for the San Francisco 49ers.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That is surprising because a lot of all of this hoopla was supposed to be more so that he wanted to play on
for the Giants.
On the Giants. So it's actually San Fran and Jimmy G. Corey, give me the take. What do you think about fitting Dez over in San Fran? Young quarterback, Shanahan gets the best out of him?
Well, you've seen what Shanahan did with number one wide receivers in the past. Now, Pierre Garçon might still dominate the targets depending on what Dez Bryant can still do. I think he'll be motivated if he does happen to end up in San Francisco. And San Francisco has money, too. So you go in there with Pierre Garçon, who came in last year. But obviously you add Dez Bryant to the mix, he automatically becomes the X receiver. I think Shanahan's familiarity with Pierre Garçon, you know, would still lead to Pierre Garçon getting a good amount of production. But Dez Bryant could be a dominant end zone threat in San Francisco, and he's playing with a quarterback in Garoppolo who can get him the football. So that would be, I would say, that would be an excellent fantasy fit for Dez Bryant, maybe in that 4th, 5th round range now.
That does actually sound like a really, really good spot. Corey, you need to screenshot that, tweet that out, and get those those faves
so
and retweets.
There is some screenshots of it. When me, you know, listen, it's Saturday morning, fellas. So I'm like, wait, what's this? Is this real? You know what I'm saying? And then when it finally dawned into the screenshot, I went to the store and deleted his comment. But there are some screenshots of it on Twitter.
Okay. George, Corey, thanks for the update. That is big stuff there. Whether the talent has dropped off, and I mean, George, obviously being a Cowboys fan, Corey, I know you are as well. I mean, you guys have seen Dez Bryant for better or for worse over the course of his career. I mean, George, your initial reaction to hearing
mainly
that news?
For better, Giant fan. Mainly for better, Giant fan. Don't do that. For better or for worse. You threw that in there. That was your homerism, your New York Giant homerism.
I'm not even a Giants
more,
fan.
Much
Corey,
more better
Corey,
than
I
worse.
Thought we were friends this whole time. And you don't. I'm an Eagles
we are
fan.
Friends.
I'm
we
an
are
Eagles
friends.
Fan.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Oh, that makes it much better.
Same thing.
Yeah, no, honestly, he has terrorized the Eagles.
He's off the hook now.
He could be.
Oh, he has.
He could be having his worst year. 2 touchdowns, Sunday Night Football against the Eagles every year. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So for better and very rarely were certainly not against the Eagles, George. Thoughts on Dez Bryant maybe being a 49er?
You know, Corey and I talked about Dez Bryant last week on Football Frenzy, which Corey and I will do tomorrow from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. on this very here network. I think San Francisco does make some sense. Now, Dez did want to play in the NFC East. Then he's specifically the New York Giants. I think he's running out of options here. You know, not too many teams that looking for a wide receiver. But San Fran does make some sense. Corey said it. They have money. They have the need. My only question would be this. Is he the type of receiver they're looking for? I mean, him and Garcon, sort of the same possession guys at this point in their careers. Well, they want somebody who could stretch the field more, more of a speed guy. You know, we'd all like to have a Brandon Cooks, Sammy Watkins, but that kind of guy here. That'd be my only question there. I think I told Corey this last week. I think a lot of the locker room stuff about Dez is blown way out of proportion. Yeah, I don't think he's any kind of problem in the locker room. I love Dez. I love the energy he brings to the team. It reminds me of Michael Irvin. You know, that kind of energy, which I think teams need. I think a lot of the stuff we see from him is just very much overblown. So I don't think that's an issue here. I think it makes sense why he would send that out. Instagram, curious. Maybe something's going on there, maybe not. But, you know, you look at their wide receivers, Marquise Goodwin, Garcon, Trent Taylor, you know, everything after that is a whole bunch of really, you know, mud on the wall, see what sticks here. The need is there. So, yes, I think there's something – I think where there's smoke, maybe there's some fire.
Well, I think you, George, I think what you hit on is this is a calculated move right here, because you know to sit it up there and then to delete it lets you know that it's a message that he was trying to get out this Saturday morning. So he took that opportunity. If his son's scoring a touchdown, he knows it's supposed to be well viewed. And if you look in, if you just scroll down and look in the comments, somebody asked him, a random guy asked him, and he replied the 49ers. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. You know what I'm saying? Why would he do that other than to send a message to the San Francisco 49ers and other teams in the NFL where he wants to be? Because you do that with San Francisco. Now the Rams have to say, wow, can we let the 49ers jump on Dez Bryant? The Seahawks say, can we let the 49ers get Dez Bryant? You see what I mean?
Yeah, it's all a PR game, right? You got to get your message out there. You got to let these other teams. And it's also a way to get more money. Yeah,
no doubt.
You can play
no
the game.
Doubt.
Hey, yep. Listen, hey, the Rams want me now. They're going to offer me this. You know, you guys got to beat that. It's all that kind of game. Yeah, I think you know Seattle might make some sense as well. We got to stick in that division as far as a team that could be interested in Dez. He lost. I know he's not the speed guy Paul Richardson is, but it's not like Russell Wilson has a whole lot to throw to there. So I'm surprised. It's May 26th. The draft ended 3 weeks ago. I'm surprised.
A month ago, almost.
Dez doesn't have a job. Right? I'm surprised Dez doesn't have a job.
Mm-hmm. I agree that I am actually surprised that he has not been picked up on a team. The Niners make sense. I quickly head to the schedule. They play the Giants from the NFC East, but preseason game number one, they play the Cowboys. So, I mean, I don't know if he would really play in the first preseason.
Cowboys still need him, too.
Here's the biggest question.
Dude, you nailed it.
How quickly do people convince themselves that Kyle Shanahan can turn Dez Bryant into Julio Jones?
Well, see, that's what that's obviously what the first thing, the first talk would be. Now, one thing about Kyle Shanahan and this situation in general, Kyle Shanahan was interviewed. I'm not quite sure who it was or what it was earlier this year. And he spoke about teams not needing a big, dominant wide receiver. That, yes, it was good to have that kind of player, but for real, he's like, you don't need to win. You don't need that type of dominant number one wide receiver to win. He likes more of a system where you spread the ball around to a number of receivers. He thinks it makes it easier for the quarterback. Now, with that being said, you know, that's why I say I think that Dez would still end up, you know, Dez would still with that being said, I think Dez is still sending a message with this right here, but I still think Pierre Garcon would get a lot of looks in the passing game also.
Let me ask you both,
you know,
this
Corey,
question.
It's funny.
Quick, George, let me ask, though, because if he landed in San Fran, right, like you talk about Pierre Garcon, they obviously paid Goodwin and things of that nature. Would you feel better about drafting Dez Bryant with landing in San Francisco with obviously a better coaching and quarterback situation, or Baltimore, where the need maybe is greater and perhaps the targets are greater?
Oh, God, San Fran. Stay away from Flacco.
Good one, George. You know, he don't want to catch. You know, he didn't want to go to Baltimore. He didn't want to catch a whole bunch of 7-yard passes.
Yeah, I mean, that, he already had a job with Baltimore. That's where he was going to get the most money, But before the draft board, they were from a 3-year deal, $21 million, I believe, offhand, just guessing there. I think it's San Fran. It'd be better off with Dez. But what I would say to Corey was, you know, when you said about that Shanahan quote that you don't need, I always wonder when I hear something like that, is that, are you saying that because you don't have it? You know, is that,
right.
I don't think, does he really believe it, or he just says, hey, because I don't have it? Oh, yeah, we don't need to win. What's he going to say? Oh, yeah, I can't win without it. You know, that's what kind of message is that sending to your team? So I always take those messages with a grain of salt.
I mean, you're right, because if you look at when he was in Atlanta, and I can try to pull those numbers up right now, I believe Julio Jones was one of the, well, obviously, clearly he was one of the top wide receivers in the NFL. But if you look at the 2016 season, he had 129 targets. So, doesn't seem like, you know what I'm saying?
Maybe he's had what? 1,600 yards and 14, 1,900 yards and 15, 1,400 and 16, and he wasn't there last year. So, yeah, you can win without a top wide receiver, but, man, it's a lot easier with one.
I wonder
you're right.
I wonder if he was more so like, listen, you don't need big guys. However, if you have Julio Jones, be sure to throw him the ball at least 120 times because he's Julio Jones, and there's no reason to not do that.
So definitely it has to be a connection to Kyle Shanahan. You know, as an offensive coordinator, obviously Jimmy Garoppolo is an up-and-coming quarterback. The Cowboys and the 49ers, Vegas has them at the same exact odds at 800. To represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. So looking at the situation, probably, you know what, I can move into a spot to where I had, you know, with Tony Romo in Dallas.
It'll be really, really interesting to follow this dev stuff. I am actually still really surprised that he has yet to land on a team. I actually thought that he was going to be on an NFC East team within days of his release, whether it had been Philly or the Giants. I thought the Pats would swoop in, turn down the Ravens offer. Maybe it's the 49ers. Corey Parsons heads on the show, breaks a little news for us. That's why you got to have Corey Parsons around at all times. Appreciate you, Corey. We're coming back for the last segment here on Fantasy Sports Today. Keep it locked.
Join the family at Modell Sporting Goods. Visit your nearest Modell's and sign up for our MVP Rewards Program to receive insider deals all year round. Earn points on every purchase when you use your MVP card to earn Modell's cash back. It's our way of thanking you for being a loyal customer. Upon signing up, receive 10% off your purchase and 15% off your next purchase. It's that simple. Plus, new MVPs this month are eligible to win a $500 Modell's gift card. When you gotta play more and pay less, you gotta go to Mo's.
The sharpest fantasy sports minds are now available 24/7 straight from your mobile device. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app and listen live or on demand to the finest tips, strategies, and advice from your favorite fantasy personalities. It's free and available for both iOS and Android devices. Your life isn't slowing down, so why should your fantasy sports? Head to fntsy.com/radio and download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app today.
Game time decisions.
Dykstra then allegedly pulled out a gun and threatened to kill the driver.
Lenny.
I had Lenny Dykstra on the show probably about 7 or 8 months ago.
Yeah, it was good. It went well.
Well, up until he stated who wants to lick another man's Now we have a more open format. He's welcome back.
Yeah.
It's like Kramer and the Merv Griffin set. We have a new edgier format of the show.
That's right.
We're,
come on down.
Yeah, anything goes now.
Weekdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
How's it going in there?
5 more minutes.
Okay, let's play a game. 2 truths, 1 lie. We're not going to be late to the party. In the time you've taken to get ready, you could have been on your way to saving a life. And I'm wearing that tie you hate.
We're not going to be late. We're 10 minutes away. You wouldn't dare wear that tie. And I can't save a life. I'm not a firefighter.
Actually, I swabbed my cheeks last week.
It takes less than a minute to get your cheek swabs. Register at DKMS.org and you can be a superhero by helping someone out. When
the Oh man, that is some stuff there, George. I am interested to see where Dez Lance. Fantasy-wise, he's probably a lot less intriguing than, obviously, in years past. But just, I still enjoy watching Dez play football. He's a story. He's a story to follow. I anticipate he lands on a team. Maybe it is San Fran.
It's just weird that it's been this long. I mean, why is every personnel? What do they know that we don't know? It's really where I'm going with this, because it makes no sense. The man could still play. You know, is he truly? Do they truly believe he's a locker room problem, or is he just a system player, or serves a certain need? Because there are teams out there that could certainly use his skill set, and San Fran is one of them. Once again, we went over there with our wide receivers.
Yeah. One of the things that always I wonder is the asking price and how much perhaps that could be factoring in, right? Because if I said that Dez was willing to sign for a minimum, I would think that these teams that are staying no, right? The Giants are adamant about not adding him. But if you could add Dez Bryant for the minimum, I mean, just there's no risk in that. I just feel like, well, like, what's the worst case scenario? You cut him for a net loss of nothing. So I'm just, I am interested, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe the number is off. You know, I know that with Baltimore's situation, apparently he just wanted a one-year contract. That way, because he feels very confident in himself that he's going to come out, have a gigantic season, and then, you know, perhaps bank on that. I don't know if that's the best move, but my only explanation could be the contract talks have to be off.
I imagine that's part of it. I don't think he'd play for the minimum. I'm sure he wants he's probably going to want what Alshon Jeffery signed for last year. You know, 1 year, $8 million, somewhere around there. And then have him make good season and then go for a big deal next year, which makes sense. But maybe he's not going to get that $8 million. Maybe he's going to come down to $6 million, you know, $5 million, $4 million. You know, but there are some teams out there, and I have no doubt there are some teams he doesn't want to play for. You know, yeah. My first thought was, boy, isn't he the type of player Bill Belichick would normally take a shot at?
That's what I'm saying.
You know? Buffalo and, could use some help.
And they could use him
there.
In New England. Like, that's
they
not
can,
a
but I also,
wide receiver core, though.
No, it's not. Not at all. And he's sort of I think my only issue with New England would be this. I think Dez Bryant may be his best skill set at this point in time is the red zone. And that's what Gronk does. You know, Gronk is the red zone guy there, so they don't need Dez to do that. But once again, you look at what they have there in New England. All right, Edelman's back, but he's the complete opposite of what Dez is going to give you.
Right.
You know, Chris Hogan, all right, you're more of a speed guy. Jordan Matthews, slot guy. So, you know, he's more the Malcolm Mitchell role, Hogan role there, and those guys are more speed than Dez. But I guess when it comes down to, I guess he just doesn't fit there because we haven't heard his name mentioned anywhere, which is really the strangest thing.
Right.
Other than what Dez wants to play. You know, I understand why the Giants didn't want to go with him. All right, you already got one problem with Odell Beckham. You don't want to add another guy in Dez, even though I don't think he's anywhere near the problem what Beckham is. I get it. You know, and the Eagles don't need the help. Washington really never seemed to have any interest in him. But like most teams, it's strange what's going on here. That's why I keep coming back to, what do these general managers know that we don't? What's going on behind the scenes? Or is it all just about the film? No, he's just not the same player anymore. Too many injuries, low speed, drops a lot of passes. That's all true. You know, so maybe it is just his play on the field. But that someone won't give him a contract, but then it comes back to what you said. Does he want more money? You know, if he wants the $8 million, no one's even coming close to $8 million. Is that the problem? Is he still holding out for that? In which case, he and his agent need to, you know, face reality here. It's May 26th.
Yeah,
and you're not getting paid big bucks anymore. Are you going to wait till training camp till somebody gets hurt? Maybe that's the strategy.
But still, even then, like, I just don't know how much how good the money would be. And if the thing is, if your whole plan is to take, you know, a deal this year and then go next year into a legitimate contract, then I don't know why you would still be so worried about the contract. And the fact that he was willing to take that pay cut for Dallas, I'll tell you what, honestly, and it's probably lost in this whole thing. Maybe the most shocking part of this entire development is that he was actually willing to take that pay cut. And Dallas still cut him.
As a Cowboy fan, that's what bothered me the most as well. That I had no problem with Dallas wanting to reduce his salary. He's not worth $16 million. I think that was the cap hit. He's not worth that, not anymore. So I had no problem with that. But that the fact he just cut him outright, you know, I mean, and it's not like this receiving core in Dallas is great. I mean, Allen Hurns is now your number one wide receiver. That's scary. You know, Terrence Williams, it was a mistake re-signing him last year. You know, Bryce Butler, who's probably their best receiver, you let go to Arizona via free agency. So, and now Jason Witten retired. Granted, they didn't know that at the time, but Jason Witten retired. I mean, this receiving core is ugly, really ugly, you know, for the Cowboys here. And then he, like I said, he all signs did point that he was willing to take a pay cut. Now, granted, we don't know what it was. You know, commit $16 million down to $13 million. That wasn't enough for Dallas. You know, so we don't know that. But that was strange to me. That sort of signaled to me that, you know, they won't say it, but that Dak didn't want him. You know, that or that Jason Garrett didn't want him. You know, that they didn't see the chemistry there between Dak and Dez. It was never going to work. There was some friction there. And if that's the case, all right, I get it. In today's NFL, say it over and over again, quarterback-driven league. Got to make the quarterback happy. But right now, I mean, I think Dez said Vegas has the odds on for Dallas and San Fran being a positive. I mean, I don't see that at all. You look at the NFC, I mean, Philadelphia, Minnesota, the Rams are all clearly better teams. Mm. It's not even close. And the Green Bay is a better team as well. I don't think Dallas makes the playoffs this season.
I mean, honestly, the Dallas wide receiving core, I think that is another thing, is it's not that they replenish the group. It makes sense to say, oh, yeah, I get why you'd push him out. No, I don't get why you would push him out at all. That slightly makes me wonder if there was more friction in terms of that situation than perhaps we were led on to. I sometimes wonder how tight him and Dak were. I really look, you never know, right? Until we get that big, you know, a big report that comes out that'll finally says it. But I feel like Dak was never really accepted by a lot of those guys that were Tony Romo's guys. I feel like that was part of the reason that Witten hung it up. I feel like that's part of the reason why Dez is now out of there. I don't know. That's just my gut feeling on it. And as a Cowboys fan, you'd probably know better. It's just kind of one of those feelings that I have on that situation.
Yeah, I agree about Dez. I think it just wasn't working out between him and Dak. You know, Romo made Dez better because Romo wasn't afraid to throw to him. Throw the ball, the jump ball in the air, knew how to get the ball to him. I don't believe that's why Witten left. Witten was still productive under Dak. I think Witten just he was getting old, and this is opportunity at ESPN, which he's getting paid a lot of money for.
That's true.
Yeah, it wasn't going to come around, you know, again, so he took it. And I think that was a smart move by Witten, by the way. You know, hey, you're still getting paid good money, and now you're getting the crap beat out of you. I mean, yeah. That's pretty smart if you're me. And he's got a couple of kids, beautiful wife. I'm sure his wife didn't want him to play anymore either. You know, and I understand that what spouse would want you to, you know, get crushed. You know, we all seen all these players with all, you know, seen the CTE and how they look and their, as they get, actually how they look, how they feel as they get older, can't really walk. And right now, Witten can do all that stuff. You know, if I have a couple of kids, I like to be able to play with them. You know, I like going out and playing volleyball with my daughter and soccer with my other daughter. That's what you want to do. You know, so I understand that. So I don't blame Witten at all. I think it's, once again, the opportunity was too good. It was just bad timing for Dallas that the Monday Night Football job came open, but good timing for Witten. I think that's why Olsen considered it as well. Greg Olsen, a tight end in Carolina, same thing. You know, the opportunity at this point in their career is sort of weighing. All right, I can still play another year or two. I'm not as good as I used to be. I'm slow. I'm still getting crap beat out of me. Or I can go to a job where, let's face it, it's not physical at all. It's still fun. I'm still in the game. Still get the thrill. But, you know, my health is my long-term health is more of a concern here. So I think that's why Witten left there. But the bottom line is for me is I keep nagging in my head, Kev, why is no one going after him?
Mm.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to me. What do they know that we don't?
Why hasn't one of these big networks reached out to make him an analyst, though? Like the Jerry Jones School of Broadcasting's already pumped out, too. I'm surprised Dez is.
Pumped out more than that, right? You got Aikman, Romo,
that's
Witten.
True. I mean, yeah, yeah.
Daryl Johnston is on CBS.
What's his name?
I get it. It's the Cowboys
the
national
too.
Following.
What the heck is his name?
Oh, Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson.
Sure, with Fox.
Gee, Dion even played there? Wow, the Jerry Jones School of Broadcasting is something else.
It's the Cowboys. It's the brand.
Yeah.
And everybody knows these guys.
Not bad.
Yeah. It's funny. I wasn't able to listen to Tony because Joe Galina and I were doing the show last year. Was it Fantasy Football Live on the network from one? I never got to listen to Romo because I was always doing the show.
Right.
Heard he was good. You know, that's great. But I got to tell you, as far as announcers go, I don't know how you go. You watch your games, Kev. But I rarely listen to the. I think most announcers in all these sports are terrible. Most, not all. But generally, I'll have the game on, but it'll be on load so I can hear it in the background. And I have music on because most announcers I want to strangle. Because I hate it when I feel an announcer is not doing their homework and they're making mistakes. I'm not talking about mistakes that we all make. We're all, you know, you talk live, you're going to make some mistakes. But I'm talking about mistakes where, what do you mean this happened? It didn't happen. Didn't you read? Didn't you do your research? That bothers me sometimes, especially with former players. That I think they're just, you know, they're not really putting in the work here. And some announcers I think is just terrible. John Gruden, by the way, the greatest thing is him not being on Monday Night Football. I love Gruden. Love Chucky as a coach. I think he's fun, exciting. But everybody was great. Oh, it's great. The guy could have dropped 16 passes. Oh, he's great. Because you could tell that one day he wanted to get back into coaching. Mm. He wasn't burning any bridges here. So I stopped listening to him a while back as well. So I don't think I've listened to really a game since Pat Summerall and John Madden retired.
I listen to them, but the frustration that comes with former players getting things wrong and not stumble. You can stumble. Everyone stumbles over words. That's just how that goes. It drives me nuts, especially when, and I don't know, it just, when you're in this field, right, especially while I was studying it and things of that nature, you always feel like, you know, you want to crack at that. And, you know, it's like, oh, this guy got it just because he played X number of years in sports. I've seen so many guys play X number of years in sports, have no idea what they're talking about. I don't care what anyone says. Paul Pierce doesn't know a damn thing. He doesn't know a damn thing. I remember I was in I think I might have been in like the eighth grade. I was watching ESPN and someone was making an argument against Dwayne Wade talking about all of these things he hadn't accomplished. And one of them was he's never been led the league in scoring. And that was wrong. I was in the eighth grade and I was screaming at the TV. It's just that stuff is always going to irk me to my core because I just feel like it's wrong. Just the idea that a playing career necessarily means you know more than everybody else is always sat very, very wrong with me. That's the tangent, though, on commentators. Let me quickly, because we were starting to discuss the Yankees, let me close with this. And there's so much baseball stuff. We had trades. Mookie Betts will never stop hitting home runs. Taylor Ramirez got released. Don't you worry, because George and I are back tomorrow, same time, 9 to 12, and we'll cover all of that. But in these final 5 minutes, let me just ask you a few more of these Yankees questions, right? Greg Bird coming back, that's great. One of the things that you mentioned, and I remember, is he could take Didi's spot. What are your feelings right now with Didi? Personally, he's my favorite Yankee. I love watching him, and the start to the year was phenomenal, right? April, he finished with a .330 batting average, 10 home runs, 30 RBIs. He was unbelievable. He has been horrible since.
Well, I think, what's the old saying? He wasn't as good as he was early in the year. He's not as bad as he is now. He's not striking out a ton. So he's still hitting the ball. He's hitting it to some bad luck. You know, so bottom line is I'm not all that worried about him. He'll be fine. But I think they're going to drop him in the order. Part of it's because of the slump, but also part of it's because, you know, Greg Bird is a middle of the order bat. So I think Bird is going to bat somewhere in the Didi role. Either you're going to split up Stanton and Sanchez, or you're going to split up Stanton and Judge. You know, so I think Bird either bats third or he bats fourth to split those lefties up, which means that Didi probably now bats sixth. You know, once again, this way you go more lefty, righty, lefty, righty. I think it's also part of the reason why Torres is still batting ninth. As idiotic as that is, by the way. You know, Robert is Gardner batting 200 and Torres is batting like 9,000. And Torres should be batting higher. It's silly to still bat him ninth. You know, I'm not a big believer in, you sort of have to earn it. If you're the better player, listen, let's move the guy up. I understand Boone's probably going to tell you, well, we don't want to mess with what's working here. I get that too, but I'm not really worried about Torres also not realizing how to hit if he bats first. You know, the guy's a pretty natural guy. You're playing in New York as it is. I don't think any extra pressure is going to be on him. But I expect, like I said, I expect Bird to, I think they're going to go Gardner, Judge, and then Stanton, Bird, Sanchez in some kind of order there where they'll split the lefties up. Then it'll be Gregorius, then you're looking at Andujar. Probably who's ever the extra guy there, about eighth, and they're going to keep Torres at ninth. You know, I don't like it. I think because once again, numbers will tell you if you bat ninth, you're losing at bats over the season. About 85, I think, comes out to. And with the Yankees, it's probably more, by the way, because they score so many runs, they get so many extra at bats. He's probably going to lose over 100 at bats. Seems kind of silly, don't it, to have Torres still batting down that low, especially for Gardner, who really is not doing anything. He's not doing anything at the plate.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about Glaber because, I mean, you know, you hear about these prospects, right? Prospects, and, rarely does a guy up and meet expectations, let alone exceed the way that Gleyber has. He's got 6 home runs in his last 6 games. He has homered now in 4 straight with 5 home runs in those 4 games. It's unbelievable stuff. Although what's wild is you think about just what Judge did his first year last year being a rookie. I mean, this stuff is, this Yankees core is so, crazy. As you're watching Gleyber, is that the reaction, screaming at the TV to bat him first? I think it's a fair reaction.
He should be batting first, or at least higher in the lineup, which in this case with the Yankee lineup first makes sense. I'm not screaming at the TV, but I just shake my head. I mean, what are you doing? You got to pay homage to guard. When did Gardner become this great Yankee? Derek Jeter, when they kept him at second and first that year in his last year, paying homage to him with thank you. I like Gardner, but he's not that kind of player where you need to keep him batting first. You can argue he shouldn't have a starting role on this team.
Yeah.
I think the Yankees would be a better team with Clint Frazier up instead of Gardner. But, it is what it is right now. I think the fact that Gardner's a left-handed bat, once again, Yankees don't have many of those, which is unusual for the Yankees in the short porch. It's only Gardner, Gregorius. Really, that was it until now Bird comes back. Aaron Hicks also, but he's another guy who's overrated. So it's strange what they're doing with him. I think Torres, I understand you don't want to wreck the guy. He's a top prospect. He's going to be an immense player. What he's doing with the home runs, by the way, no one saw it coming. He was not supposed to be this kind of player. But, man, that power's developed quick. And he's not hitting cheapies either. He's hitting freaking bombs.
Mm-hmm.
Last night may have been a Yankee Stadium home run, but even that was about 10 rows deep in right center, so it may not have been. But the ones he was hitting in Texas and Kansas City, those are bombs. So this bottom line is this kid is a stud. And everybody knew this. The Yankees made a great trade. You traded away, traded Chapman, got Torres back, and then you signed Chapman. My God, was that a great move by Cashman.
some good stuff for the Yanks. Greg Bird makes his return, more NBA playoffs. George and I will be back tomorrow, same time, 9 to 12, on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This was Fantasy Sports Today. Thanks for listening, and keep it here on the network.